thousand times, back and forth off this road that leads from work to home. I've been a million places, I've seen a ton of faces, but no love and no reason to live. Then one day, someone told me about a better life. I met the man, I took his hand. Now I'm alive, now I'm free. In this loving family, yes, I know this is where I wanna serve my Lord. I will find the others who are lost and covered by the blinding ways of the world. I see now that there's more, there's a better life. I have reason now, I can hold it in, I wanna scream it out, but now I'm free.
Good evening, folks. Praise the Lord. Good to be back with you again on a Friday night here. It's the 8th of September, and it is Friday night live service here for you. So we're going to just hopefully be blessed tonight, all of us, and encouraged in the Lord as he has some good things to share with you through me, I believe. So I'm going to open up with a little bit of news as we start out this evening. So Mexico Supreme Court legalizes abortions, calls killing babies before birth a human right. They called the current abortion ban in Mexico unconstitutional. So what does this ruling do for Mexico? It paves the way in Mexico for killing hundreds of thousands of babies. I'd say that's a sad day in Mexico, huh? Yeah, man, that is so sad. And Florida, jumping over to Florida now, DeSantis becomes the only governor to reject millions of dollars in federal aid for the Biden's leftist climate agenda. And my question is, with all these Republican governors, how come only one? What about all the others? They want the aid, they want the money more than they want to stand up and speak out against something that's very evil and nothing good about it. Virginia mother sues Virginia school district for extreme horrors her teenage daughter suffered due to the school's secret gender transition, not telling the parents, in other words. That's right. They didn't tell the parents. So anyway, she had her secret gender transition, this daughter, and she became caused bullying for her, which caused her daughter to run away from home into the clutches of multiple sexual predators who repeatedly trafficked her. And so this mother is suing the school. Well, that's great, but mother should have seeing all that was going on at home. And I realize sometimes you don't. Children can be secretive, but there's warning signs usually. That's for sure. Tulsi Gabbard says the AP, Associated Press, has become associated propaganda and is completely aligned with the Democratic elite. She says they didn't care. They don't care about the people of the country. They don't care about information. They don't care about facts. And she went on to say some more things. But anyway, she was speaking what sounds to be the truth. And the former Democratic congresswoman has slammed AP for their left-wing bias. Well, good that people speak up and speak out. 4 years after COVID pandemic hit the world, here we see Memphis Church, and it's called the Greater Harvest Church in Memphis, Tennessee, instructing their members to quarantine and mask up for COVID. I tell you, some people just still don't get it, do they? Obviously not. They don't get it. They don't understand. And they're still just buying into the lying rhetoric, the deceiving rhetoric. So, and that's Christians. I mean, these are church leaders and pastors. California Senate passes a bill forcing parents to affirm child gender transition or face the possible removal of the child from the home, and to allow lifetime damaging procedures on that child. How sad is that? That's the Senate. It hasn't passed everything yet, but it passed in the Senate of California. But, you know, what's coming out of that state right now under the leadership of Gavin Newsom? Elon Musk calls out radical environmentalists think the earth would be better off with no people on it. He said the root of the climate change agenda is hatred for humanity. Well, that Elon Musk, he's sounding more and more like he's getting everything. And, wow. And he's getting persecuted, too. He said, remember, folks, we are the carbon they want to reduce. Yeah, well, what about starting with them? Maybe that... why don't they volunteer to be the first? If that's the agenda and that's what they want to do, huh? Anyway, yeah, China considers the law banning clothing that hurts other people's feelings. That's right, there would be fines and even jail time for people who offend the government's sensibilities by wearing the wrong clothes. Wow, talk about a communist state, huh? Seems like it's much becoming that. It already is, of course, but they're just manifesting more symptoms of it. All right. Only 2% of the churches in the United States are teaching Bible prophecy, says a survey that was taken, while roughly 30% of the Bible is prophetic, and they're ignoring almost one-third of the scripture. Why don't they teach on prophecy? They're afraid people are going to leave, or they afraid it's controversial. I don't know. But I'm certainly not afraid to talk about it and teach on it. Well, this so-called Father James Martin, claiming to be, I guess, a Catholic father, says Christ raising Lazarus from the dead is an invitation for LGBTQ people to come out in. You know, his recently published book, he has written, when Christ commanded Lazarus to come out of the tomb, which he, in King James, come forth, I believe, but come out of the tomb, he says, those who identify as LGBTQ to come out into the sunshine of God's love. Now, how many think that that man is really a born-again Christian? Anyway, it shows how... You know, things can be so twisted, what the Bible says, it can be so twisted into saying whatever people want it to say. And what kind of a time do we live in that such things as that are going on? Kind of sad. It's amazing that people are that ignorant. But obviously, You know, if you don't know Jesus, you don't really know what's going on, because there's no enlightenment. The Holy Spirit enlightens us. The Holy Spirit gives us revelation, knowledge, and understanding. And so many people don't get that. But anyway, I praise the Lord that we know him, don't you? Thank God that we have salvation tonight. Thank God that we know him. Thank God that we are born again. We've asked Jesus into our hearts, and he lives within us through the Holy Spirit. I rejoice in that. I do. I hope you do too, and I hope we give praise all the time for his goodness. We're going to open up in prayer tonight. Welcome to the broadcast tonight of the live online service here of the Oasis Church, the OasisCommunityChurch.com. So we're glad to have you tuning in. Lord bless you, and let's go ahead and pray. I want to pray for a man who has backslidden, his precious, and the Lord loves him. Let's pray for his conviction and that he will return to the Lord tonight. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We give you thanks tonight. We give you glory. And Father, we want to lift up this person who is backslidden, Father, who has gone into sin and deception. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would rescue him, that you would bring him out of the devil's hold, the devil's grip on his life, Lord, and pray that things will turn around, Lord, in his life, and he will get right with you for your glory, Father. We pray for him, Lord. We pray for, Lord, a restoration of his walk with you, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift this dear one up to you because you love him so much, and we love him, and we care and don't like to see that happen to people. We just grieve and are sad about it. And we've seen it happen to many over the years, people that you wouldn't think would do that, but still it happens. And so because really you don't know a person, Lord, I know you do, but we don't know them until you really know them. And so there's a lot of things that go on in people's lives that we just don't know. But you know, Father, and you love them, and you want to restore. Father, draw him back. In Jesus' name, we cry out for that, Father, and we bind the devil over his life, and we break the grip and the control of those spirits in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you now, Lord, for blessing every listener tonight, encouraging them and strengthening them and keeping them strong in you, Father. They will draw nigh to you, Father, and you will draw nigh to them, and you will bless them and encourage them and strengthen them, Father, for your glory. And Lord, if they need healing in their body, Father, that we just declare the truth. And the truth is that by your stripes we were healed. That's right. And you heal all our diseases. Thank you for healing all our diseases, Father. Thank you, Lord. And we don't claim them anymore at all. We don't claim any diseases, Father. We thank you that those things are gone in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, ask your blessing on tonight's broadcast, Father, that your spirit would, Lord, have his way tonight, that you would speak to the spirits of your saints, Father, that you would speak to your children, and they would get what they need to get out of things tonight here as we share the word. They would get what they need to get, Father, what you want them to have, Father, because you're the teacher. I'm just a speaker, but you're the teacher, Lord, so we give you glory for being the teacher. And thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit does teach as the word is proclaimed, Father. And thank you for doing that, Father God. We give you glory and honor. And, Lord, we pray for the abundant supply of your people, Lord. This is a time when groceries just keep going up, 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 and prices of things have jumped up, and some have taken advantage, Lord, of people by raising their prices ridiculously because, well, after all, everybody else is, they say. But, Lord, I pray you provide more than enough for all of us, Lord, to live in these times, Lord, where prices have gone up and gas has gone up and all these things are going on, utilities are going up. And Lord, I just thank you for abundant supply for all of us, Lord, that we'll have more than enough and we'll get through this time and be ready to see you when you come in the clouds of glory, Father. We thank you for that, and we give you the glory and the praise and the honor tonight, and cover this broadcast tonight with the blood of Jesus, the precious blood. We honor your blood. We glorify you and your blood, Lord. Thank you that without that blood, though, there is no remission of sin. We know that, and we thank you, Lord, that there is remission of sin for those of us who love your blood, and we have taken of the blood and the body of Christ and drank your blood, ate your body, Father. And Lord, we know that we've been brought into the family, and we're part of you because of that, too, Father, because of our receiving of you and receiving the cleansing of the blood. And, Father, we thank you for salvation, Father. That we are believers, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name, we give it a glory. Everybody say amen. Everybody say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, you ready for this tonight? We're going to talk about, you know, adversity is not eternal. Adversity is not eternal. You know, I know a lot of people think it is. A lot of people feel like it's never going to end. Feel like they're in stuff, that it's just overwhelming in their lives. It just seems like too much. How can this ever end? How can this ever quit? And maybe you've really felt knocked down lately and beat up. And yeah, well, all of us have faced adversity and pain in this life at one time or another, and maybe you're in the middle of some right now. Maybe you're in the middle of trying to figure out what God wants you to do. And you know, maybe you just want to hear from heaven, and it seems like you haven't heard. And, well, in Jesus' name, I pray you will. And maybe things are just very difficult for you right now. And sometimes, you know, you feel like you just can't get back up again. And maybe you felt at times like, what we're going through is just too much, man. I mean, it's just too much. I can't take it, you know, anymore. Well, you know, according to the Bible, you're not the only one going through rough times. It said the same temptations are throughout the world in your brethren, throughout and sisters, throughout the world. If you remember that scripture. So, yeah, you're not the only one going through the attacks of the enemy, because the enemy is relentless, in case you didn't know. He doesn't let up. He continues, and he will continue until Jesus comes and he gets put away for 1,000 years. But let's go over to 1 Corinthians 4 as we read our first scripture reading tonight, verse 10, chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians. All right. Let's start reading. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hand, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat, we are made at the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. He's warning us. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Man, all that, and he's telling them to be imitators, followers of Paul? I mean, really, some of you really feel like it, too. I mean, but none of us have been through what Paul has been through, quite like that. He was shipwrecked 3 times, beaten with rods 3 times, left for dead, had to be raised from the dead. I mean, what does Paul have to say about all that? Anyway, I mean, he says, be imitators, or be, you know, he says, follow me, right? I mean, whew. Be followers of me. You want to go through all that? No, I mean, no, that's not really what we all want to go through. So what does Paul have to say about this? Well, we see over in Acts chapter 20. So you want to turn over there and look at verse 22. He says here, And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me, But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. What did he say? He said, none of these things move me. Can you believe that? After all that he's been through, all the difficulties, all the trials, all the attacks of the devil, he said, none of these things move me. My. Can we too say that about all the little difficulties that each one of us has faced through life and lately even and maybe are in right now? They don't move me. They don't get me off track. They don't divert my attention off of my purpose and my calling and my destiny in Jesus. Can you say that? Nothing moves me, no thing. Right? The Bible says nothing shall by any means hurt you, right? But, you know, I'm reminded of the story of a dog called Oscar. I mean, this dog, he would not quit, man. His owner was building a new home and accidentally covered the dog with a backhoe, and they dug him out, and he was okay. Then a rattlesnake bit him on the head, but he survived that, and somebody in our church had a rattlesnake bite their dog 3 times a couple of weeks ago. And he was surviving, and we prayed for him. And anyway, I hope he's still surviving. I believe he is. And anyway, then rattlesnake bit him, and then a .22 hit him, and he lost an eye. And a car hit him, and he lost a leg, but he survived. And he got hit again by a car, but he continued. Oscar just wouldn't quit. What a dog, huh? But listen, when things are tough and you feel like giving up or giving in, well, you know, giving up or giving in really we just don't quit, folks. It's not an option. It's not an option. We need to just say like Paul did, okay, none of these things move me. None of these devils move me. None of this garbage that come from the enemy, it's not moving me. Okay? We need to be able to say that and declare that in the devil's face. Okay? But I know things may not be going like you'd like them to go right now. I know there are things going not the way I'd like them to go in some areas too. I mean, we're in a spiritual battle. And yet, they might be difficult. And yeah, you maybe are being dealt with about change in you, and you don't want to change. I mean, no, change is not really easy, especially when you're really used to living a certain way or being in certain conditions. You know, change is not easy. But, you know, we have to be adaptable in the kingdom, and God gives us grace for change. You know, Paul said, I've been knocked down, but I won't quit. Some of you have really been knocked down. I know some of you, and I know that you've been knocked down in life. I know that some tragic things have happened to you. And Paul said, I've been knocked down too, but you know what? I won't quit. So we got to ask you a question today. Have you quit because life got too tough? The Lord said, get back up. It's not over yet. It's not too late for a new day, saints. A real breakthrough in your life can happen. I mean, you can get through this, and you can get over this, and you can go on with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can see the plan of God. But see, when people get angry, get bitter, get, you know, all these other things going on in their life, see, they don't persevere to see the plan of God. They don't persevere to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Like David said, I would have fainted lest I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Because so many bad things happened to David. So many difficult things he had to face. He was being persecuted, chased by King Saul. They were ready to kill him. A lot of assassins were sent out to kill him. And yet, he didn't give up. You know, during adversity and pain, you need to realize, you know, that what you're going through will not stop God's plan for your life. Did it stop God's plan for Paul? Even though he missed it, he was told he was going to go to Rome. He got to Rome one way or another. He made it to Rome to testify of Jesus. And so he did get there. But let's remind ourselves of what Jeremiah says about us here tonight. And You know, you may be in the midst of a great spiritual battle, but listen, Jeremiah 29:10, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's right. He's going to give you an expected end. You know, a time could come or would come, here in the Bible it came, when 70 years were passed, they would see God visit them. That's the one thing it shows us here. It shows it also that he would perform his, what kind of word? Well, we see a good word toward them. And then we see cause you to return to the place of his promise and blessing. And you know what? God will do it for you too. God will do it for you. I know things have been lost. I know things have been broken. I know things have been hurt and things seem like unrecoverable. But you know, God still has good and perfect gifts to bring down from above on your life. Amen. Don't forget that. Just say it right now. God will bring me out to bring me in to his blessing. That's right. God will bring you out of adversity, and it's not going to last forever. God will still visit you and perform his good word towards you and bring you back to a place of praise and blessing in your life. Okay? Praise and blessing. Don't quit, saint. Don't quit when the going gets really tough. Because it does for every one of us. And it has. I mean, if you've been living on earth, you know that there is an enemy, even though a lot of people don't realize where the bad is coming from. They took a blame and a shot at God and say, well, God, why'd you do this to me? Why'd you let this happen to me? Why? And yeah, hello, it's not God's fault. God didn't come to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, John 10:10, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So that's God's goodness. That's his grace. And the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy us any way he can. And God will bring us out of adversity. Amen. He will. And, you know, God will bring us through the adversity too. And he can, really, if we will let him do it without throwing, you know, a pity party, and throwing in and falling away like some do and blaming him, he'll bring us through without a burn, a scratch, or a wound, in fact. Not that we haven't been wounded, but, you know, he's the one who heals the brokenhearted. He's the one that heals the wounds of the enemy. I mean, I can't count the times that I've had people in for deliverance, and they were doing things that would really hurt them physically. I mean, I've had several bang their heads on the wall just over and over and over again. The demons were doing that to them, and I'd ask them afterwards, is your head sore, or do you have any pain at all? And they said, no, none at all. See, so listen, God can bring us through the attacks of the enemy without a scratch. And yet sometimes we get a scratch or two, but sometimes we get wounded by the enemy because we allow certain things to take place. But in Jesus' name, the Lord is the healer, and he can fix those things up. And deliverance can be part of that, fixing things up, healing of your mind as well. And he encourages us and comforts us. It says in 2 Corinthians, he comforts those who need comfort so that we can comfort others. Remember that scripture. But some people, you know, not all of us come out that way without a burn, a scratch, or a wound. Some of them come out with a little bitterness, a little anger, a little hard-heartedness, a little unforgiveness, maybe a little resentment and a little anger at God, maybe a lot of these things, really. Some come out with a lot of hurt, a lot of resentment and rage and a little horde of demons that they didn't have before. Because they've allowed these things to take place and riddle their life with misery and pain rather than standing up in their authority and saying, no, I'm going through, coming out on the other side, this will not last forever, and speaking in alignment with the Word of God. Not everybody does that. And when you come out with a little unforgiveness, a little hard-heartedness, a little anger, a little bitterness, all this is not God's best for you. because I got plans for you. You got to recognize, man, the enemy is after you and your walk with Jesus. And if he can stop that walk with Jesus, he will any way he can, and he's going to try a number of things to try to, you know, cause you to turn against God or be mad at God or walk away from God. And a lot of people are walking away from God, but that doesn't mean you have to, and it doesn't mean I'm going to. I certainly don't plan on it, and in Jesus' name, I never will. And yet, you know, you may walk like Jacob, too, with a little limp. But, you know, Paul said, none of these things move me. None. N-O-N-E. None. So don't be moved by the pain and the adversity that you faced in this life and that you may be facing right now. And don't pick up the hurt, the bitterness, the pain that the enemy wants to just put on you and let you carry the rest of your life. And be a handicap to you. A lot of handicapped Christians today because they're carrying things they weren't never meant to carry. I may know that to be the truth. I may know people like that. Maybe it was you. I don't know. But listen, you don't have to stay there. Don't have to stay there. That's not God's plan. Okay? Not. Realize God's bigger than this stuff. Bigger than all of that. And his plan will come to pass if you don't quit. Don't let go. Don't stop trusting in him with all your heart, leaning not on your own understanding, right? You just keep on trusting in the Lord. Keep on saying the steps of a righteous person is ordered by the Lord. He's still going to bring me out on top, even though it looks like I'm not on top right now, if that's your case. What does it say in Proverbs 24:16? For a just man falleth 7 times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Just man, though, that's not the case. He rises up again and again and again and again. Just man falls 7 times, but he gets up again and again and again. Just woman gets up again and again. Just because you're falling flat on your face doesn't mean God's plan won't still come to pass for you. Some people are so self-condemned today that they don't think God could do anything with them. They've fallen into sin so many times. Well, you know, that's why we have the blood of Jesus. That's why we have the cleansing blood. That's why we have 1 John 1:9. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Oh, yeah. We got to remember that. Got to remember that because some of you just been too hard on yourself, man. You just haven't embraced the truth of the gospel. You're trying to live under Old Testament law where you're just expecting the earth to open up under your feet and swallow you up for all your sin. You're expected to be struck dead for your sin. And that isn't going to happen, okay? Because God's not doing that to people today, not the righteous ones anyway. He bore your sins. He bore your punishment on the cross. Paul fell many times with even great failures, but he wouldn't quit. And God still brought his will to pass and his plan to pass in the Apostle Paul's life. Yes, he did. And David, my, look at David. He was a mess. I mean, had a man killed, guilty of murder and adultery. And yet, listen, he was an outlaw. Today he'd been a convict or something because, you know, Saul was out to get him. He's an escaped convict or something. I mean, listen. Fall, but don't quit. Fall, but don't let it move you. Okay? Yeah, I doesn't matter. I mean, 7 times the righteous fall and the Lord picks them up. I mean, over and over again, the Lord's going to get you up out of that. And if we don't quit and we're not moved by our falls, the Lord will always pick us up and move us on towards his end for us, his plan, his destiny. You know, remember, God bigger than your circumstances. He's always bigger than your circumstances. Your circumstances are placed there usually by the devil anyway. But we need to be rebuking a lot of circumstances in our lives because a lot of them definitely didn't come from heaven at all. And we know where to come from. At least you should know. A lot of Christians, they just think it's just, well, that's just life coming at me, you know. It's just the way life is. No, that's the way the devil is. He set you up for falling. But you don't have to. God will make a way that you don't. Okay? So, bigger than your failures? God's bigger than your failures. You think those failures are so big that you're separated from God now? No, that's not true. That's a lie. The devil lies, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. He'll just have you deceived to believe some things that are not accurate. But just like Oscar, we're going to keep on going, getting up, and going on. Amen? That needs to be, you know, our attitude. But without all those damaging wounds, Deuteronomy 6:23, it says, "And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware to our fathers." He brought us out of the darkness. He brought us out of Egypt. He brought us out of the troubles to bring us in to the promise. Yeah, the promises of God, the blessings of God. And we'll all be able to say he brought us out to bring us into his promised land. That's right. I mean, what you're going through, this thing, whatever it is, will not last forever. It will pass. Thank you, Jesus. Things pass. God will keep his good word toward you. It's not over yet. God hasn't showed his last word to you yet, because you're still breathing. You're still sucking air, huh? Yeah, you're still around. But God has more. Keep looking up right now. Keep looking up into the heavenlies. You know, we look up because our redemption is drawing nigh. The Word of God tells us that. So let's keep our eyes up above. Let's not keep looking down at the devil and all his works and all his evil that he's trying to promote and bring to pass in the world right now. And he thinks he's getting away with something. He's not getting away with nothing. Yeah, God knows what he's doing. He's not got away with anything. Look at James 5:8. "Be also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." We got to keep in mind that we're living in the last days, and the Bible said the last days are perilous times. And the good news is the coming of the Lord draws near. He's coming very soon, and we need to recognize that and recognize the times we live in, like the sons of Issachar. They knew the times and what Israel ought to do back in those days. And there are wise children of God here today that should know the times and what they should do, what we should do. You know, and he has people wise like that today. So let's just wait on God more until we hear the answers we so desire. A lot of us don't take the time to wait on the Lord and to be of good cheer. For he will strengthen our heart, he will strengthen our spirit, he will strengthen our mind, so we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. 3 James 5:10. "Take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." Yeah, see, they suffered persecution. And we're going to be persecuted by the enemy. And many times the enemy will use people to do it. But, you know, he also uses people, God does, to bless us. And while the enemy is using people to persecute us, God is using people to bless us and to just do things that they just wouldn't normally do, simply because you've got the blessing of God on you. And you know it. You should know it. It says in verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." See, if you endure, you're happy. "You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies." See, the Lord is of tender mercies. He's got mercy for you. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. So you might be going through it all right, but the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. And the faithfulness of God is there daily. Yeah, we've seen the end intended by the Lord. And we've seen the prophecies, and we've seen the end of Job, how he was so blessed. And, of course, we know why Job had all this happen to him, because he was living in perpetual fear. "The things which I greatly feared have come upon me," see, because he was living in fear every day. And that's a place we don't want to live. But it says that about Job. And so we understand that he was attacked because he had many open doors. He was afraid for his family. He was afraid, a lot. And it happened to him. "What I greatly feared, you know, has come upon me, he declared. And so he had obviously been living in fear for quite some time. And certainly when Satan went forth to the presence of the Lord, you know, from the presence of the Lord, and the Lord allowed him to do it because of what Job had been saying. You think that he would allow him to do it if Job had been speaking to the, you know, the properly alignment with the Word of God under a new covenant? I mean, no, he wouldn't. It happened. Look, it says in Job chapter 3, verse 25, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. So, you know, he just spoke a lot of things that he'd been living in. And that's a long story to get into that, but I'm not going to do it. But don't quit in adversity and pain. Know that God is still going to have his way. And you know what? He's not forgotten you either. You keep trusting in him. Keep believing to see his grace and his goodness come to you again, because it will, folks. It will. You know, he's not forgotten about you. You're special to him. He loves you. Your deliverance is something he wants to give you. See, Jesus is faithful to those who trust him. Okay? So what are you going through today? What are you facing today? You know, what kind of trouble are you in right now that seems to be so big and tough and seems like God's not showing up? What kind of trouble are you in today? Where are you at with Jesus right now? Do you know where you're at with Jesus? Do you know the standing that you have? You know, I want to tell you something about the Lord. He's already declared the end from the beginning, and it really starts with the end. Did you know where you're going in life? Do you know right now? Or are you just wandering through life hoping it's going to all just work out somehow for you and yours and your beloveds? Well, I want to tell you something today about the nature of God that really will help you, especially if you go through difficult things, see? Tell you something about it. You know, if you'll implement it into your life, really, if you will, it's going to at least give you direction and a hope for tomorrow and today, and it'll activate your faith. How many know the just shall live by faith, see? We live by faith. That's how we live our lives. And when we depart from faith, the Bible says if it's not of faith, it's sin. That's how serious it is that we live by faith. And Lord, we just repent for not living by faith. We should just do that before the Lord right now. Lord, forgive us for not living in faith and speaking all this negative stuff. You know, faith is the way God operates, and it should be the way we operate, because the just shall live by faith, and because we're also partakers of the divine nature, the Bible said. So let's just be partaking today, okay? I mean, here it is, the key to unlock doors in your life. Let's look over to Isaiah 46. Because if we can understand this, we'll have some revelation here about how things operate in the kingdom of God. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old? For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. See, he declared the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. See, so he declared what's going to happen. He declared the end from the beginning, see? He has. And God speaks the end, which is the future, from the beginning. I mean, look at Abraham. The Bible is full of events like this. The Bible calls him the father of faith. We can learn from him, right? I mean, he is the father of faith. And so God promised him that Sarah would have a baby. And so what did he do? He went and changed his name from Abram to Abraham before his wife even ever got pregnant. Abraham means the father of many nations. I mean, how funny does that look? I mean, look at the people looking at him and saying, what? You're the father of many nations? You don't even have a child yet? What's in to you, Abraham? Are you going loony? You're a crazy old man or what? I mean, here he was 100 years old about. And going around and calling himself Abraham and changed his name. Everybody else knew him as Abram. They didn't know him as Abraham. I mean, this is like crazy to the natural mind. I mean, here's this man going around with the name Father of Many Nations while not even having one child to carry on his name. Kind of strange, huh? Yeah, about 100 years old, and look at his wife, 90-something years old, whatever. I mean, people call him crazy back then and call him crazy today. But, you know, he believed God, and he had a promise. A little bit of Romans. Let's go over there to Romans 4. Romans 4. And, yeah, just giving you some important things to you're going to walk the deliverance life. You're going to be attacked by the enemy, and you need to know these things so you can walk this way and in the things that God has for you. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. See, we need to, what do you need right now? You need to start calling some things not that are not as though they were. Yeah, that's what faith will do, okay? Start calling things that are not as though they were, okay? Hallelujah. And be not weak in faith. Be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered, wavered, that is, not at the promise of God. And a lot of people wavering at promises of God here in the churches today. All the time they waver, because the devil puts all these doubts in people's head. But he wavered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Are you fully persuaded today? What God has promised you, he's able to perform. Well, you know, a lot of people are not, but they need to be. Okay? As Abraham did as God, he called things that are not before they ever happened, things that have not happened yet. He did like God. He began to act like God because God would declare the end from the beginning, and these things hadn't even happened yet. God was here. Here he was declaring these things. See? And so Abraham did the same thing. He acted like God. He did what his father did. See? As though they were truth, he declared things. Full reality. Already happened. We need to learn from this, folks. We need to learn some things here. I mean, he believed and declared with his mouth, even when it looked impossible. It looked impossible. It absolutely did. He was about 100 years old, right? The Bible says. And here he was saying he's going to be the father of many nations. And he wasn't living in Methuselah's time where he had 900 years to get it right either and have a bunch of children. No, man would live 120. And after the flood, that was it. And so, anyway, he believed. He declared it. Even when it looked impossible, on what basis could he do that? Well, according to that which was spoken. Has God spoken anything to you? Have you gotten anything out of his word? As you know, the word is his word to you, you know. Have you gotten something there? Has he spoken to you? You bet he has. I mean, listen, he's given us his word. He's spoken his word to us. That's who it's written to. And if he's spoken, what has he spoken? Things that probably haven't happened yet in the natural realm, a lot of them. Probably haven't happened to you yet, okay, in the natural realm, you know. But he has spoken in from the beginning, folks. Look, he declared, by his stripes ye were healed. You know, that's the end from the beginning. Who healeth all your diseases. I mean, these are things that he spoke forth. And, I mean, really, let's get it, folks. Let's get what he's saying. He said again, what did he say? I'm back in Isaiah 46:11. Do we need to read that again? 46:11 says here again, calling a ravenous bird from the east, a man that exceeded my counsel from a far country. Yes, I have spoken, and it will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. See, he's spoken it. It's going to come to pass. He's spoken it. It's going to come to pass. See, it's all a matter of just believing that what he said is true. See, what did he speak? He spoke the end, right, from the beginning. And he also said, I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it when, in the beginning, I will also do it in the end. See, folks, what God initially says is what God eternally means. And we need to know that about him. See, you know, go back to what he initially said. See? I mean, I've had to go back to what he initially said many times in life because, oh, when you get off track, what did he last really initially say in your life? See, all of us have obstacles and problems in our lives, right? But how do you deal with these things? We should be doing as God has done, declaring the end from the beginning of it. When you're going through these tough things, when you're facing these tough things, declare the end from the beginning. Don't go around moaning and groaning and whining and exalting the problems and the obstacles and the demons in your life. Listen, when we moan and groan about what the devil's doing, what are we exalting? We're exalting demons. We're kind of praising those demons and their work because, oh, we're moaning and groaning about it. Well, that's giving, you know, place to the devil. We're letting them do this to us. And when we moan and groan and groan and moan, they just laugh and enjoy that, you know, so much when you just groaning about what they're doing to you. We need to declare the end from the beginning. Amen. What did God say about it? 2 Corinthians 2:14. Have you read that one lately? 2 Corinthians 2:14. May we be reminded of this. It says, now thanks be unto God, which always, what did he say? Always. Have you triumphed yet? But he always causes us to triumph in Christ and make it manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Wow. You know, start speaking this from the beginning. You're going to see your end quicker than by getting in fear and murmuring, complaining, whining about your situation all the time and being fearful and feeling wounded so bad that God's forsaken you. Folks, this is a vital truth about the Lord and his word, and we need to get these vital truths. I mean, here's a good example of this. Let's go to Exodus 14, and we'll see a good example of what we're talking about. Exodus 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness? I mean, listen to that unbelief there. They saw the problem. Fear sets in. See, when you look at the problem, it exalts itself. And that it was just getting pretty big. They were afraid they're just going to die. The Egyptians were coming after them. They said, we should have just stayed back in the sinful life, back in Egypt. We should have just stayed back in Egypt. Egypt speaks of sin. It speaks of bondage. It speaks of living in the house of bondage, see? Oh, we should have just stayed there. You just brought us out here to die. You know, do you think God brought their people out to die? But they were not thinking spiritually. They were thinking carnally. They were not thinking about the word of God and what God had. You think God delivered them out of Egypt just to die out there the first few days? No way, Jose. That's not true. Yeah, but fear set in. You know, when fear sets in, you don't think rationally. You don't think things through properly. When fear sets in, see? You just don't see the problem. I mean, you in the right perspective. And when you look at the problem exalts itself because fear has set in one form or another through worry or through anxiety or some form. Okay, because whatever you dwell on is the biggest in your eyes. And they were dwelling on dying. They figured, we're out here to die. You brought us out here. You Moses, it's your fault. You Moses, you did this to us. And so, yeah. Problem is they didn't know their God, right? Obviously they didn't know their God. They just had a big bad problem. The big bad devil was having his way, and is what they thought. They didn't see a big great God. So what happened? Pride and hardness of heart can set in at that point. Yeah, but it's got to go, folks. We got to get rid of that. Moses had learned something to be like God. And so he described the end from the beginning. He didn't look at the problem. He looked at the end in verse 13 and 14. He says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and ye shall see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." See, he just declared the end from the beginning. What a bad situation. Probably worse than any we've ever faced. Here they were, the whole Egyptian army, bent on killing every one of them on one side, and then a huge, huge, seemingly impassable sea-like river on the other side. And then we hear Moses saying, "Don't worry, you'll never see these guys whom you see right now. Never going to see them again." Yeah, right, Moses, because they'll be the last thing I see before I die. You know, that's probably what some of them thought when he said that. But you know what? No. He said, "Be quiet. God will fight for you." You know, sometimes we just need to get in the quiet. You know, we just need to calm all this stuff down and cast it on the Lord and just get in the quiet before the Lord, saints. Why? Because you know what? You talk yourself into a mess if you don't get quiet sometimes. And why do you think they walked around the wall of Jericho in silence for 6 days? They didn't shout till the last day. They didn't make any noise. They didn't let them talk. Because they talked themselves out of the miracle. They talked themselves out of the wall falling down. They get in fear, unbelief, and worry, and anxiety over the whole, high anxiety over the whole walls that they're looking at, and that big army there inside the wall. Yeah. "Be quiet," Moses said. "Hold your peace. Quit murmuring. Shut up." There's times in our lives we need to just shut down this stuff that's clamoring away in our minds, with the demons are just elevating that condition. You know that, right? They're just elevating it. They're increasing it. Yeah. And that's what they do. You understand, when they get you thinking on your difficulties and your problems and your trials and whatever you're going through, they just increase the difficulty. Once you start thinking, they just start dropping the bombs on you. You know, "Oh, yeah, you thought about this. You thought about that. This doesn't make sense. Why is this going on?" You know, hey, haven't I already told you the end and what is going to happen? Look at Genesis 15, 1 through 3. "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." But what did God just tell him? He said, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And then the word of the Lord comes to him. "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shalt not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowel shall be thy heir." See, he's declaring the end from the beginning. Yeah, amen. So we see this happening throughout the word of God. And it happened, and now they all sang the praises of the Lord too. Notice that. After it happened, after the Lord delivered them and all those Egyptians died, it happened, and now they all saw the goodness of God. So I say to you, you know, why are you waiting till the end comes to praise him and rejoice? Some of you need to get a praise going in your mouth. Some of you need to put up those high praises into the heavenlies right now, even though you're still in the midst of this awful pain. And I know what it is to be in the midst of awful things. You don't feel like praising the Lord. I tell you, you can't go by your feelings. And I mean, it's some of the hardest things to do is to worship God when you're in the midst of something awful. And you're just under heavy, heavy, you know, attack, strife in the home, anger, rage, whatever's going on there, bad things happen to you. Loss of loved ones. I mean, there's just so many things. You just don't want to praise the Lord. You just want to grovel. You grovel in the mess. You just don't feel like it. But I'm telling you, we need to start speaking and declaring the end and rejoice and praise God for it. You know, there are times in our lives when you'll see it, and there are times when you won't. You'll see the end coming to pass right before your very eyes. Other times, all that seems to be visible is nothing but the problems, nothing but the difficulty, nothing but the persecution, the opposition, the demons, and their evil work against you. But you know what? You can see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I guarantee you that. The Word of God says it. You can, if you believe, you know, Jesus is coming back. And the Bible says, as you see the day approaching, right? I mean, what day is this? Well, the day of the coming of the Lord, the last day, the return of Jesus. Oh, see, we can see it approaching. Why and how? Well, because, again, God had declared the end from the beginning. Read Matthew 24, for example. He's already declared how it's going to happen. That's right. We see it in Revelation. We see it in Isaiah. We see it in Matthew 24 at the last trump, the last day before the 1,000-year reign, really, which starts eternity. So, you know, if it's true about the second coming, it's true about each one of our lives. Did you ever think about that? Hey, amen. It is. It is. It's true for your life. It's true for mine. Thank you, Jesus. Satan's not going to have this last word unless you let him have it. Amen. In your life. Let's go to another scripture, Luke 13. Don't you love the Word of God? I just love his Word. Every day I embrace it. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day, Jesus. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. See, she hadn't been loose yet. He just said it to her, right? He just had said it to her. And then he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. See, he declared the end from the beginning. He just called her forward, and secondly, he spoke to her, and so that she was free, and before she saw anything change, he'd already spoken the end from the beginning. And then, thirdly, he laid his hands on her, and then immediately she was healed. Notice, he told her she was free before anything happened. In the natural. And he declared the end from the beginning again. He operated in the calling things that are not as though they are. So what do you do? What do I do? We need to get something from God, from the Word or whatever about our situation, right? And preferably the Word or from some promise that we get from the Holy Spirit speaking to us. We get something from God about the end and we start declaring it. Okay? We start declaring it with our mouth. I don't care what anybody says. We declare it with our mouth. Okay? We start speaking it. Has he showed you his word that you are healed? Well, start declaring it. Did he show you that he's going to bless you and prosper you in this time of famine and high prices? Then start declaring that. Has he showed you that loved ones will get saved? Well, start declaring it. You declare the end from the beginning. It don't look like they're saved, but I'm declaring they're saved. Because I'm declaring the end from the beginning. Declare that they're saved. Declare that even if they're on drugs, even if they're on alcohol, they're saved in Jesus' name. No matter what their condition, start declaring it. I see them saved. I see them saved. I call them saved. I'm declaring the end from the beginning. Yeah, they look like they're never going to get saved right now, but I declare they're saved. I say they're saved in Jesus' name. That you're coming out of those difficulties, declare it. Call it, though, that it has happened. Call the end from the beginning. You see this principle through the Word of God. We got to get in line with God's ways, and we're going to see his ways come to pass. Amen? If you don't get yourself in alignment with them, they most likely aren't going to happen because you're going around speaking all that unbelief and doubt and fear and all that stuff from the devil, see? Instead, because he's got a language, and if you speak the devil's language, you're going to get the devil's results. Because he has a language, and he's trying to get everybody on earth to speak the language of the devil, the language of Satan. But we're not going to speak the language of the devil. We're going to speak the language of Jesus, because we belong to Jesus. We don't belong to the devil. okay? And devils know some things about the ways of God, too, you know. They're not ignorant. They know the word of God, see, but they just don't have the revelation that we have. But, see, because they don't have the Holy Spirit, see, they can't have the revelation. But devils know some things about the word of God and the ways of God, and they want to block you from knowing these things. They want to block you from his goodness, his love, his grace, and truth. That's right. See, say somebody, you know, like somebody comes and tells you some things about another person. I'm sure you've had that happen. Things that may distort your view of them, even though you've never met them, maybe some bad things about them. And then you meet them and, yeah, you know, funny, they don't seem like what so-and-so said about them. But, see, you've heard stuff. You've been polluted. Well, you know, devils try to plant wrong views of God like that, so that when you hear truths about him, you hear the word, you read the word, you have a hard time believing and receiving them, see, because you've already had suggestions and mental thought implants and distortions about God that may block the real truth about the Lord. Just like if we hear things about somebody, we hear the gossip about them, and then we go and meet them, we have this thing going in the back of our mind that this is the way these people are, and we are on guard and we're holding back. And see, the devil knows how to do that same thing about God. See, suggestions and mental thought implants. That's what the demons do. He puts suggestions in your mind. Well, God is really like this, and he's really a harsh, mean, legalistic God that, you know, just will not tolerate you at all. And if you sin, he doesn't have time for you. I mean, they're just trying to block the real truth about the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And you know, these things that are the real realities, see, Satan has managed to do things and suggest things, and we bought into that. See, religion has a lot of demonic in it. A lot of demonic suggestions, see, that pollute the Christians that embrace the religious spirit, see, thinking that this must be spiritual, this must be God. They don't know it's a religious spirit. They don't know. They haven't learned that. I mean, we need to learn that things are not often as we have been programmed to believe, see? We need to break through the demonic rhetoric and lies about our Lord Jesus Christ and learn to get in his word and see Jesus. See him as he really is. See, only the word can reveal the truth. We need to put all this preconceived garbage that we've heard all our lives about Jesus and just get in the New Covenant, get in the New Testament, and read about Jesus. Read about Jesus until you really see the Master as the Master really is. Amen? I mean, instead, you know, people seeing all these negative things about him, like he's going to get you for that. You sinned. And you'd expect to pay for it, you know. But the Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus to us through the word. But we're going to have to reject these preconceived demonic implants about him, see? See how important that is, saints? I can't tell you how important this is. Because everybody has preconceived ideas about things, and definitely have some about God. Because you live in the world, and the enemy, you know, he's afraid you're going to get saved. So he's going to plant stuff in you before you ever do get saved, see, about God. For this is happening to you because you're being punished for your sin, you know. God has taken your name out of the book of life, for you have committed the unpardonable sin. How many thought implants are much more subtle than these ones? I mean, these are obvious things, and yet people still fall into these things. But there's some that are much more subtle and sneaky, because he is a sneaky snake, sneaky little serpent. And so we need to recognize them, because these implants that are planted in our mind throughout our lifetime can be very damaging to our walk and to our view of our Lord. So recognize we're at war, and that war goes on every day, every day. Every day we're in a war. Goes on every day for ground to be taken or gained in your mind, in my mind. It's ongoing. And it doesn't quit because, you know, demons are relentless and they're on assignment from Satan. And we are their assignment. They are there to deceive us, to lie to us, to steal from us, to kill any way they can kill. Steal the truth, kill the truth, try to kill love, try to kill peace, try to kill your joy, steal your anointing, steal miracles, kill miracles, signs and wonders and blessings and deliverance and all the goodness of God. He blesses us, the blessings that he has for us in this earth. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, the word says. Do you have any of that? You know, God wants you to have it, obviously laid up for you, according to the, he declared the end from the beginning, right? So we need to resist daily with great, great determination and boldness toward these evil spirits. Okay, they're your enemies. They're never your friend, never going to be your friend. They don't like you, never will. I have to understand that. See, most Christians are impaired in their walk with God today because they don't know his love. But you get a revelation of his love, you know that, hey, perfect love cast out fear, for fear has torment, see. See, there's a deeper love that we need to experience in God. Every Christian should know God is love. God is love. Jesus is love. God is love. And but to know that and experience the depth of God, the depth of God's love, two entirely different things. Okay. Spirits are in the way. Evil spirits must be cast out of the way. They must not be embraced. Well, it sounds right. Sounds like that's the way God is. That's the way love works. And no, if it's not word, it's not right. See, all of us have formed concepts of God. And I dare say most of our concepts of God are wrong. Okay, until we really start getting revelation of God and who he is, they're wrong. Why is it that so many of God's children are unable to receive God's love? Well, I believe a lot of it is concepts and distortions and lies that have been implanted in their mind by, of course, you know who. That's right, our concept of God. And for too many of us, our view of God is distorted to some degree. See, there's a distortion, a demonic distortion that has gone on. And as we are neglected in life, we're hurt, we're rejected. In our young lives, growing up in life, we form certain beliefs, certain feelings. And I hate to say, but a lot of Christians today are ruled by their feelings. Feelings about life, feelings about God, feelings about ourselves and other people that strongly influence us the rest of our lives. And we're living under those influences today because a lot of them we have not spit them out, rejected them, and had new proper influences formed in us that are based only on the Word of God and not on our feelings and not on what we've been influenced with since the day we were born and even in our mother's womb. See? So, here we are in this damaged condition. And then we have the treatment that we receive from authority figures, especially our parents. I mean, had any perfect parents? I didn't. I don't know anybody who did. And especially your parents and teachers, you know, that forms of, you know, our concept of God. And yet God is not a man. And he doesn't act like a man. And yet we've had these ways formed in us through people and their influence on our lives. Yeah. So we have these wrong things, and simply learning correct doctrine about God doesn't correct distorted concepts of him. And a lot of people try to learn the right doctrine, but just learning it doesn't correct these things that are already implanted in you, see? See what I'm talking about? Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1, we'll read Verse 25 and 26, if you're looking them up with me. If not, I'm going to read it to you. Okay, here we are. Verse 25, how are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places. I'm distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love unto me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? And, you know, this love, God's love, is not true, is what the enemy would tell you. But it's not true, and it's not really ours until we can say, at least thy love to me is wonderful, Yeah, it surpasses anything. You know, David said it surpasses the love of women because he had such a bonding with Jonathan. And, of course, the homosexual, they say that they were homosexual, but that, of course, is not true. We know that that's not even biblical for that to be the case, and God doesn't write stuff like that. Anyway, but yes, we need to say that your love is wonderful, Lord. I mean, when we can really say that and we begin to know that, listen, we're getting on the right course there. We're getting things right. Instead of always, you know, being afraid that he's going to get you and afraid that he's disappointed in you, your life is such a mess, and you messed up so bad, made so many wrong decisions, and haven't we all? You know, it has been said that the degree to which we distort God, or the degree that God is distorted in our mind, is the degree to which everything will be distorted in our lives. If God is distorted, you think that other things might not be distorted too? Certainly so. And so the key to having the right concept of God and experiencing Jesus' life within you is simply this. Experience the love of God. Know the depth of in the depth of your being that you are completely, passionately, constantly, eternally loved by Father God. This will unlock the door to true life, the life that God has promised us. I'm come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That life is also his love, see, because, hey, God is love. So you think that life isn't his love? 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. See, he is to be known to you as the God of love and peace. And if you don't know him as the God of love and peace, how much do you really know him? Because this is what he is. This is what he is. What kind of God is he? He's the God of love and peace. The Bible says in John chapter 1, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law came through Moses. Condemnation, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, see. My words are spirit and they are life, he says. So what kind of God is he? He's spiritual. He's love and peace. He's truth. He's grace. And if you don't know him this way, you really don't know him properly. Okay? Many know about him. Yeah, and you might be saved, but you don't really know him, see? And God wants you to know him. He wants to take you deeper and further. You know, he took you out of bondage to bring you in. And see, if you're not connected to that love, which comes from the Father, if you don't have an immediate, present, personal experience of unconditional love in your life, dysfunctional is what you are. See? You don't work right. See? You don't work right. Well, I mean, that's just it. And I realize that when we say unconditional love, I mean, there are conditions. If you want to turn away from God and reject him, there's no more offering for your sin, and you put him to open shame and crucify him afresh. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a believer who's going on with God. His love will not fail you, and it's not based on conditions. It's based on his nature and his word. And his word reveals his nature. Because of Jesus, his nature is not wrath toward us. We're no longer appointed to wrath. The demons that say, oh, the wrath of God is being poured out on you. No, no, you're not appointed to wrath. No, the devil is appointed to wrath. And the people that reject Jesus and the only way of salvation, they are appointed to wrath. But not you, my brother, not you, my sister. So if you don't know the love of God, then we are dysfunctional. And we might be dysfunctional anyway because, hey, we got to get deliverance from these areas that are blocking the love from being fully released in our lives to the degree that it could be. Amen? But see, love is the reason for your creation. God so loved the world that he gave. See, one of the problems is that, you know, it didn't say God so loved the world that he condemned the world. One of the problems, you know, is that words spoken to us, you know, any words that have been spoken to us or read by us, you know, they have to be filtered through this grid in our mind. And it really is a demonic grid a lot of times. a demonic grid because we, you know, had it come in a long time ago when we were children, or maybe we inherited it, the inherited spirit, and everything passes through that demonic grid, and it gets twisted, it gets distorted. Even the most loving, true words, if they are heard by, you know, one who has a wrong distortion, they're not going to produce the fruit of what the love and the that they were given with. See, demons distort things, even good things. See, and they could even have a negative effect. See, or no effect. That's why I got to break through these demonic walls, saints. Got to break through these distortions. We got to have a clear mind and a sound mind. A sound mind is a mind based on biblical truth. You know, but God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. That's why you can tell something to someone that's true, the truths of the word all day long, and then ask them to tell it back to you, and it will be distorted and quite different from what you told them. Right? I mean, I'm come that you might have life, not distortions and perversions and twisted stuff. He said, I've come that you might have life. Right? Amen. Life comes from where? Life comes from love. If you can't or haven't experienced love, then you haven't really experienced life. For his life is his love, see? So how does a believer experience the love of God more fully? How does that happen? And we're about out of time, but I'm going to hopefully get to share that with you here. Okay? Well, no easy answer, because the relationship we each have with God is unique. Okay? Just as the parent who has 10 children has a unique relationship with each one of those 10 children, right? Each one has a special relationship, at least should have a special relationship with their parent. Well, each believer is going to experience God's love in a somewhat different way, because, you know, we're all different children. He didn't make any of us exactly alike. But let me just give you some things. Number one, ask God to open your heart to receive his love as it is for you personally, as his precious son or daughter. You know, I didn't say ask him to pour his love out upon you. God's love pours on you every day, or you wouldn't even be here, right? His mercies are new every morning, or we wouldn't even be here. I mean, there's more than that, though. You need to make his special parental love, you know. You need him to make that special parental love real to you as a singular child of God. Because, you know, it's amazing that he knows millions and millions of people intimately who are born again, yet he has a special relationship with each one of us, millions and millions of people. Isn't that amazing that God could do that? But that's because he's God. He could do that. See, he can have a special relationship with you and be ministering and talking to you while he talks to 100 other people at the same time, or 1 million other people at the same time. Does that stretch your capacity to understand things? It should. I mean, wow, what a God. What a Jesus. What a Father God we have. Number two, allow God to clear out these blockages and walls from your past that hinder you from experiencing his love. See, all of us have had these events in life and these attacks that have built different things in our lives to block his love. Him to help you discover distortions in your life, that demonic distortions, demonic blockades. That's right. And it might include some forgiving some people who hurt you. See? Because, listen, it's easy to get in unforgiveness and not even know you're in it. Okay? I'm just telling you, that's the way it is in so many Christians today. They're in unforgiveness, and they don't even know it. You need to examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith or not, or whether you be in unforgiveness or something else. For some, you have had emotional shutdowns. That's right. You may not feel God because you won't let yourself feel anything at all anymore. Bottling up your emotion, you have blocked emotion. Demons have blocked emotion. Experiencing God emotionally means giving him full access to your emotions. Have you given him access to your emotion, to your mind, to your will, to every part of you? Full access, Lord. Yeah, you can express your thoughts and feelings to him. Yeah, he'll listen to you. He doesn't respond to a lot of unbelief and a lot of garbage that people do say, but yeah, the Psalms explode with expressions of gut-level feeling to God. I mean, you read the Psalms, it's amazing, and that's under the law. How much more under grace? See, he wants us to invite him into our life emotionally and otherwise, all parts of our life, body, soul, spirit, every part of our life, even though he can only live in our spirit, he does not live in the flesh. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom, but still we crucify that. Recognize that any view of God that you have that contradicts the person of Jesus, man, that's an erroneous view. It's inaccurate. Believers struggle with Old Testament scriptures so much of the time, and they see God through Old Testament scripture, and that's exactly what the devil wants them to do, you know? And so they question God's love for them because of the Old Testament. But the revelation knowledge of God was only partial prior to the coming of Jesus. See, Jesus is God, and Jesus came and he gave revelation to those who could receive that revelation, see, those who are willing to receive it, those who by faith will receive that revelation. Will you receive that revelation? Yeah. Whatever we believe about God that is not true of Jesus is erroneous, right? So if your minds are distorted by the dread of God, then look at Jesus and keep looking at Jesus and keep looking at Jesus until you see his love, his compassion, his kindness, his patience. Read the Gospels over and over and keep looking at Jesus, looking at Jesus, looking at Jesus, and you're going to see God. You're going to see love. Yeah, remember the Bible says he looked upon the people and he was moved with compassion, for he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. See, you get these little insights into the love of God. See, when you meditate on Jesus and what he said, what he did, and how he acted, and realize he was even acting under the law. So if you could see past the law part of it into the grace and truth that come through Jesus when he rose from the dead, wow. You get a real picture, and you begin to see his love for you, and you get rid of that, those demons, those legalistic devils, those religious spirits, and then you immerse yourself, finally, and you immerse yourself in the Word, the parts of it that emphasize the loving character of God. I mean, the Holy Spirit through the Word, through the Word will change us, but we're going to have to open up the Word for that to happen, right? We can't just let it sit there and gather dust all week long. Yeah, and only wait till a crisis situation to open it up. Come on, read the Word. I read it every day without fail. I will not let a day pass that I will not be in the Word of God. Ask him to show you how much he loves you through his Word. I mean, just sit down at his feet like Mary did and let God love on you. His words coming out of his mouth will love on you. Yeah, just sitting down and letting him love on you. I mean, don't you do that with an earthly mate? How about your heavenly mate? How about your heavenly one that you're joined to? He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Let him make over you. We need to experience personally his love for us and his life to us. And you know what? I have a problem with some folks because they're just trying to do everything intellectually, and it just doesn't work intellectually. You can't do it intellectually. Trying to figure it all out, trying to, get all the intellectual things about it figured out or get a God all figured out. Hey, no, God is a spirit. They that worship him must get into the spirit and worship him in spirit and truth. And see, we have that ability because we've been born again from above, and we are now spirit too as well, so we can connect with that which is spiritual. And so this requires simple dependence on him. But just ask him, show you his love. Show you his love. He'll do it in his time, his way. He'll do it. And it's the most powerful force in the universe. How many know that? Because that's what God is. That's the essence of God. So we try to couple our ability. We try to make it through our ability to receive love, and it doesn't work that way. And of course, there are many forces out there that of the demonic realm that they want to, just make your ability to receive love impossible. Basically, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to block it. They're trying to build walls against it. They're trying to cripple it. They're trying to shut it down. This is what the demons do. They don't want you to experience that. Oh, my. They don't want you to experience that pure flow from the throne of his nature, which is love. Amen. Amen. See, we're in a battle. And the battle doesn't end until Jesus comes, see? So, and there remains another battle at the end of the 1,000 years, but that's not really as much our battle as those who are following Satan again, who have lived long lives on earth, and then they face the final battle with Satan. They join him to try to come up against God again. Really, it didn't work the first time. It certainly isn't going to work that time. How many know that to be a fact? Hallelujah. Oh, thank God I'm in his arms of love, and I'm just going to stay there, and I'm going to trust that he's working out all things out for his glory and his good. Even if we've done some stupid things in life, and we all have, but God is in the redeeming process. He's in the process of redeeming our stupid and bringing in his blessing. So everybody thank him for bringing in his blessing in spite of ourselves. Amen tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing in your blessings in spite of our stupid, in spite of the stupid things that we did under the influence of devils and under the control of devils, that they controlled us as we yielded that control to them. Father, forgive us for those things. Forgive us for making wrong decisions. Forgive us for acting in wrong ways, doing wrong things that brought us into demonic bondage and kept the demons in place that have been there for years or brought in new ones, and forgive us for that, Lord. Forgive us for opening doors to devils, Lord, when we should have opened doors to you. And, Lord, wash us in your blood. We just take and receive that blood right now, the precious blood, the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from all sin, all unrighteousness. Thank you for the blood that we can stand clean before our Lord. And Satan hates that when we embrace the blood, because he hates the blood. Because he likes to remind us of our sins, our faults, our failures. But the blood, he says, far as the east is this from the west, I remove your transgression. The blood of Jesus cleanses all sin. So, Father, we thank you that there's transgression to remove, and the devil cannot condemn us unless we let him. Because we reject condemnation tonight, and we receive love. Just I receive your love, Father. I receive your grace. I receive your truth. I embrace you, Lord God. I'm your precious, special child. Amen. Each of us are. Like I said, he's having a special relationship with millions at this very moment. And those who want that relationship, those who seek him with all their heart. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, enable us and empower us by your Holy Spirit in us to seek you with all of our heart. Yeah, and we will be filled. Those who hunger and thirst will be filled. You promised that. We declare the end from the beginning, Lord. We will be filled. We are filled. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for this time, Lord, to bless our time of deliverance as we go and get after some devils here in a few minutes. Thank you that they have to go in the name of Jesus. And we come with the power of God against them. They have nothing to stand on. They cannot stand against you, Almighty One. They cannot. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise and glory. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right. Let's just keep praising God, all right? Let's just, maybe you haven't been praising, but let's praise him. Let's worship him because we prevail. We exalt the Lord. We exalt the Lord, our God. Amen. Amen. And we look up for our redemption draweth nigh. All right, we'll be back in 4:4.
greatest words I can imagine, just a fragment of a fraction of enough. Yet my eyes look unto you, not on the body of this death. And in my weakness, Lord, I praise you with this frail and faltering breath. You are magnificent. This heart that's so unworthy to sing your praise. Yet I know you're right here listening, as my eyes with tears are glistening, my hands are raised, and the feeling is breathtaking as you lift me up to you, and the Spirit's warm embrace electrifies me through and through. You are magnificent. You are radiant. You're indescribable in your omnipotence. You are incredible, incomparable. And my breathless soul shall whisper,
some spirits out. Let's just get rid of those wrong ministering spirits. They are not God, and they are the enemy of all of us. So the spirits of distortion, the spirit of distortion, distorting things in our mind that we cannot see things accurately or correctly, we come against that spirit of distortion. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. We rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. We cover you and your family, your everything with the blood of Jesus and your household right now. Come out of there. Go. Get out right now. You can't go into any of them. You have to loose them and let them go all the way out. Come out. Come out, spirit of distortion. Come out right now. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. Come out, come out, come out, all the way out. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, all the way up out of there. All that distortion, we rebuke you. Go in Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Go, cast you out in Jesus' name. Spirits of distortion, distortion, the twisting thing, go all the way out, all the way up out of there. Go. We break your power. We cast you out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, 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 out up there, all the way out, those distortion spirits. Yes, we cannot see accurately because of distortion sometimes, but we break the power of that distortion in whatever area you're working in. Command you to be removed so we can see accurately, see correctly in the name of Jesus right now. All that distortion, go in the name of Jesus right now. Loose, 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 everybody, and go right now. Loose some walls, those demonic walls that have been built. We've come against those demonic walls of hurt, of pain, of suffering, of whatever they are. In Jesus' name, you come out of there in the name of Jesus. Demonic walls of anger, rage, and unforgiveness, come out of there. Go, go. Blockages to God's love. All those demonic walls, come out, come out, come out. Demonic blockade, demonic blockages, come out. Come out, 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 out of there. All the way out. Go in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. Come out. Come all the way out. All the way up out of there. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Come out. Come all the way out. Come on. All those demonic blockades, all those demonic walls, demonic blockages, come out right now. In Jesus' name, unforgiveness, anger, rage. Come on. All those things that have blocked him. Condemnation, demonic walls of condemnation, always feeling condemned, always feeling like it's your fault, always this self-blame thing going on. You come out of there. Come out right now. All the way out. All the way out. Always feeling that things went wrong because you did something wrong. Always have that thought, that mentality. That's a demonic mentality. And, you know, everything from God has to pass through that grid. And that means your thoughts have to pass through a demon. And we should have let that thing continue. We got to get out of agreement with that. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out, 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 out. Out, up and out. Come on, out of there. Up out of there. Move. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You got to go. Go. Come all the way out. All the way out. The blood is against you. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come all the way up out of there. Go. 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 All the way out. All the way out. See, a lot of people are stuck in the bad here. That's just come to me. A lot of people are stuck in the bad. Too many bad things have happened, and you're stuck in the bad. And you can't move forward because you're stuck in the bad. I think there's a demon called stuck in the bad. Let's call that one out. Stuck in the bad. The bad stuff that they did, you're stuck in the bad. So come out of there. You spirit is stuck in the bad, keeping people stuck in the bad things. Come out, 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 come out. Stuck in the bad. All the way out. All the way. Can't move forward because you're stuck in the bad. And you got to get past the bad. Amen. Come out of there, stuck in the bad. Come out, come out, come out, come out. The tragedies of life, the difficulties of life, the troubles of life, the persecutions, come out. The mockings of those who have devils who mock Christians and mock people and don't know what they're doing to them. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. All that stuck in the bad. Come out, 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 come out. Come out in Jesus' name, all the way, being stuck in the bad. Come out, 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 come out. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way. That's stuck in the bad devil. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. Stuck in the bad, all the way out. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Some people are just being slapped with anxiety, slapped with anxiety all the time, slapped with anxiety. It's like someone slapping you in the face with anxiety, and it just seems overwhelming to you, and can even develop into a panic attack if you let it. And the demons will cause a panic attack, what people call a panic attack, which is really a demon attack. But anyway, you come out of there. Go right now. Move, move, move. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Being slapped with anxiety. It just keeps hitting. All that slapping anxiety. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, up out of there, go. In the name of Jesus, loose them, and let them go. All that slap with anxiety spirit, this kind of panic attack, too. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Those spirits of sleepless nights where you just get awoken and maybe get a little sleep, but they get woke up and just troubled about things. You come out, that troubling spirit. Binds you, come out in Jesus' name, those troubling spirits that trouble people in the night and cause them to have anxiety, worry, and stress. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Take a deep breath. Blow them out all the way out, yawn, burp, sigh, cough, scream, whatever. Get them out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name. Go all the way out, all the way out. All those troubling spirits in the night, the troubling in the night that don't let you get a good night's sleep, keep you up and tell you, what if this happened? What if that happens? Come out all the way out. What if this doesn't happen? You know, all these troubling night spirits, come out. Come out, come out, causing high anxiety and stress to where, wow, you almost panic in your sleep or you're laying there. Come out of there, all the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Will you rebuke you? The Lord rebuke you. Yes, the Lord rebuke you. We rebuke you. Come out in Jesus' name, all the way out. He gives his beloved sleep, the Bible says. So we are his beloved, and sleep is ours. So we just want to possess that sleep and go to bed casting everything upon the Lord and not allow that type of activity to go on in our beds at night. In Jesus' name, get out of there, devils, all the way out. High anxiety at night, worry, troubled about things, troubling in the night, troubling in the night seasons. Come out. Come out, the spirits that come and trouble Christians in the night season. Don't let them get their sleep. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out, all the way out. We rebuke you, the Lord rebuke you. Go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Go all the way. Restless sleep, come out. Restless sleeping, come out of there, all the way out. All the way out. Troubled sleeping. Come out. Keep going. All the way. All the way. Restlessness. Come out. 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 The Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. Keep going. The blood of Jesus is against you, demons. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way. Up, up, up out of there. Up, up, up out of there. Jesus' name. Keep going. Keep going. Stressful sleep. Come out. Stressful sleep, worrying sleep, come out, all the way out, all the way out, worrying away in the bed, come out, that worry, those night worries, come out, night worries, come out, come out, come out, night worries, the blood of Jesus is against you, those night worries, come out, 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 in Jesus' name, we're talking to you, devil, come out of there, all the way up and out, up and out, up and out, up and out. All the way, up and out of there, up and out of there. Keep going. All those demonic manipulations, come out. Those manipulating spirits that manipulate your mind, come out of there. Mind-manipulating spirits, come out, come out. Mind-manipulating spirits, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. They try to run a lot of Christians' mind, basically, because they so easily manipulate the mind and get the behavior they want out of a lot of Christians. It doesn't take much for that to happen. They know how to pull your string, get you angry, get you in strife, get you, you know, feeling fearful and feeling being negative. And I mean, so many different things. All they got to do is put a little string and you're going, man, the way they want you. See, yeah, they've got a lot of experience working with people, you know. Come out of there. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Come 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 out, 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 come out. Come out up there, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Jesus' name, you got to go, you got to go. Spirit of revenge, you come out. Come on, spirit of revenge, want to get revenge, come out. Spirit of revenge, want to get revenge on your mate or somebody else. You want to get revenge on your parents, revenge on somebody at church. All those revenge spirits. Yeah, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So what are we doing? I take things into our hands. all that revenge come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out. Come out, revenge. Come out, revenge, in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out. Come out of their revenge and vengeance and taking, getting even. Come out. All that getting even spirit, come out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out, 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 come up out of there. All the way. All the way. Come on. No bit of it remains behind. Come all the way out. All the way out. That spirit of defiance. We're talking to you too. Spirit of defiance. Sometimes we have a defiant attitude toward the Lord. And we need to repent for that. Father, forgive us for being defiant and determined to have it our way. Lord, maybe we've done that and thinking it was our way when, I mean, thinking it was your way when it was really just, we've been defiant and we're just demanding our own way. So, Lord, we repent for that. We confess that as sin and move on and command the spirit of defiance to come out. Spirit of defiance, come out, come out, come out. A lot of young people are defiant toward their parents, and a lot of Christians are defiant toward God. So you come out of there. Go, 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 go. Spirit of defiance, come out. Come out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way up and out, up and out, up and out, up and out, up and out of there, all the way. Defiance, you have to go. Defiance, you have to go. Come out, come out, come out, all the way out, all the way out. My way, spirit, you come out. How to have it my way. You know who that guy is, sang the song. I did it my way. Yeah, well, you're burning in hell today. Yeah, your way was real profitable to you, wasn't it? Come out of there all the way, that my way spirit. Yeah, my way is a spirit because he did it my way. He did it the way of that spirit, just dominating his life and dictating to him how to live his ungodly life. Come out of there, that my way spirit. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. I don't want to have that on my tombstone. I did it my way. I want to have, I did it your way, Lord. Yeah, we did it by your strength, your way. Amen. Come out of there. All that my way, spirit. All that my way. Stubbornness, my way. Stubborn, my way, spirit. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out, my way. Come out. Come out. All that my way. We repent for my way. In Jesus' name, forgive us for my ways. Come out in Jesus' name for accommodating that spirit. Forgive us for entertaining that spirit of my way. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go right now. Come out, come out, come out, 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 out. All the way out my way. All the way. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. All that my way spirit. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go right now. My way. My way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. We're just rebelling and being rebellious. So we command that rebelling spirit to go too. When we've been rebellious and just determined to have it our way and not your way, Lord. So we command that rebellion to go. That spirit of rebellion, in Jesus' name, come out, rebellion. Rebelling against the will of God because we think our way is better. Lord, our way is not better. It's your way. Or the highway, right? There's no other way. It's got to be your way. And, Lord, we pray that you'll bring your way to pass in each of our lives, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we'll get rid of those spirits that rebel against your way because we're afraid of your way and we want to do it our way. Well, we command those spirits of my way to come out all the way, all the way, all the way. Keep coming out. My way spirits all the way out. Go, 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 go. Go, go, go. Keep going up out of there. Keep moving up out of there. Up and out, up and out, up and out, up and out of there. Up and out of there all the way. All the way. Spirit of being disturbed. Maybe you're very disturbed a lot. Command that spirit of disturbance to go. Disturbing your mind, disturbing your life, disturbing you. In Jesus' name, get out of there, disturbing spirits. Right now, we rebuke you. Come out. Come out, disturbing spirits. Causing a disturbance all the time in people's lives. Just disturbing the mind, disturbing the family, disturbing relationships, disturbing your peace to where you don't walk in peace and, and joy and love and patience and all the things of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit are not allowed to manifest because of that disturbance, always causing a disturbance, always disturbing your life. Yeah, we command that disturbance to come out now. Come out now. We're talking to you, devil. That's right. You, devil, come out right now. You, disturbing spirit, disturbances, come out. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. All that disturbances, disturbing spirit, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, you will go. Excuse me, all the way out, all that disturbing spirit. Don't want you. We reject you. Come out, all the way out. All the disturbance in the family, disturbances causing disturbances in marriages, disturbance in private life, and disturbances at work. It's always something. Disruptions. Let's call that one out too. Disrupting things. Spirit of disruption. Come out. 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 Disruption. All the way out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Always trying to disrupt things. Disrupt your peace. Disrupt the love of God, and I let it through all the way out. Disrupt your revelation where you don't get clear revelation on things. Disrupt your hearing from God. All that disruption. Come out. 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 All the way out. All the way up out of there. All the way up. Out of there right now. Go, 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 go. All the way out. The blood of Jesus against you right now. The blood of Jesus against that disruption spirit. We command that to stop in Jesus' name. Stop in Jesus' name. Stop it, stop it, stop it. You stop your work again in our lives. You will not prevail. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had together. I ask you to bless, Lord, the word that went out and the deliverance that went out and seal the deliverance to them that they can keep what they get in deliverance, Father, and maintain, Lord, a stand against these wicked, evil spirits and keep their freedom and walk in the joy and strength of the Lord. Father, I pray for peace that passes understanding to be manifest in their lives, Father. Pray for encouragement and strength, Father, daily for each listener. Lord, as they pursue God in their own lives, Father, they seek after you, Lord, they will certainly see the fruit of that, and it'll be a blessing to them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessing. Thank you for loving us so, Father, and pray for more divine revelation of that love that you have so much of it for us, Lord, that it'll continue to be revealed, Lord. And instead of being revealed all this junk in the night season, people will begin to see the love of their Father for them in the night seasons instead of the demonic works. In Jesus' name, we give it a glory. Everybody say amen. All right, folks, it's another end of another broadcast, an end of another live radio service that we had together tonight with deliverance as the bonus. And we just thank God for it. Amen. Thank God for you. Thank God for all of you. Thank God for those in the chat room. Each of you, bless you. I see your postings there. And those listening by telephone, I see all these different phone numbers from different states. God bless all of you. And anyway, thank you all for being here. I appreciate each of you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we pray that our brother's court date will be successful and they'll see what needs to be accomplished, done, what God would have to be done, will be done in Jesus' name for his glory. And Lord, bless my brothers and sisters, Lord, abundantly in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, well, we see you back next Friday night. So Lord, be with you until then. I'm not the man I play that song, was thinking of this dear brother who's backslidden condition. I mean, that's so sad to see someone who really was walking along with God and now he's not walking the right way. And that's a sad thing to me. And I just pray for him. I pray y'all will remember that brother that Pastor Kyle was talking about, that backslidden. Yeah, the Lord knows who it is if you'll pray for him, and I'm going to keep praying for him. We're going to see him come out of this. I believe he's going to get right in Jesus' name, because God invested too much in him, and the devil just have him for lunch. I mean, have him for lunch, dinner, and breakfast if he stays in that condition, because he knows too much. Yeah, so Father, we thank you for saving them, not getting him out of that backslidden condition in Jesus' name, and bringing him to repentance in the name of Jesus for your glory, Father. Turn him away from this wickedness in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you that whatever necessary to open the eyes of his understanding in Jesus' name. And if you, any of you have backslidden loved ones, the Lord knows who they are. I pray for them tonight as we go. Well, I pray for your backslidden loved one tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that their eyes would be open to the truth. Their eyes would be sensitive and would begin to see the condition that they're in, that they've rejected the one who loves them in order to serve self and serve filthy lucre or whatever they're going after, drugs, alcohol, women, men. I don't know, but I pray for them. You know. You know their names, Lord. We bind the devil off their lives and we tell them, devil, you cannot have these people. These people are getting right with you. We declare it over their lives right now. In the name of Jesus, these lost loved ones, these precious ones that we care about that are just in a condition that if Jesus came right now, they might not go. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray they'll get in a condition where they will go and they'll be ready to go and they'll be excited to go, Father. And these other loves, whatever those loves are, the love of the world, the love of money, whatever it may be, Lord, will fall by the wayside in their lives in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I pray for everyone listening that they will never leave, that we'll all be steadfast and run the race to the end to receive our reward. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I pray for every listening person that they will hold fast to the faith till the end. Yes, and having done all, keep standing to the end, Father. We thank you for that. Thank you that not one of us will be missing in that day, Father. All of us will be before the throne and before the Lord in that day of your return and rejoice. Oh, hey, yeah, I know you. You used to listen to Deliverance Today broadcast. Yeah. Oh, wow. Because we'll know as we are known, the Lord says. So that's going to be an interesting time, right? Know as we are known. How does that work? I haven't figured that out yet, but it will be interesting to see it in action, won't it? All right. Love y'all. Good talking with you. And we will talk to you next week. God bless.